reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, verse 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shona Prabhuvacha. Nirgate Narade Sutta. Bhagavan Bhattarayana. Shrutavam tad api pretam tatakim akarod vibhu. Rishi Shonaka asked, O Sutta, the great and transcendentally powerful Vyasadeva heard something from Sri Narada Muni. So after Narada's departure, what did Vyas do? Purport. In this chapter, the clue for describing Srimad Bhagavatam is picked up by Maharaj Prickett. Is miraculously, the clue for describing Srimad Bhagavatam is picked up as Maharaj Prickett is miraculously served in the womb of his mother. This was caused by Droni Ashvatthama, Acharya Drona's son, who killed the five sons of Draupadi while they were asleep, which he is punished by Arjuna. Before commencing the great epic Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyas realized the whole truth by trance in devotion. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurunmutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam yena bhutale Shayam rupa kadamayam Tadati sapadantikam Vanshakalpa tarubhyascha Kripa shindu bhayevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hello, greetings from Sri Vrindavan, home at last. I love it here. I don't think there's a temple in the world with such a devotional community centered around the deities and kirtan. That 24-hour kirtan started by Andhra Prabhu is going on stronger than ever. I really hope when I'm here to take more advantage of it. And just the wonderful Vaishnavas and Sri Vrindavan Dham, the wonderful holy places and the potency, and I just want to I absorb as much as I can. I'm going to stay here till 6 weeks now, which is a relief. I love being in one place. And already I started my class. I never think I'm starting it, but people ask to come, and it begins. I relish that. And tomorrow I may go with Kidanagari and Shastra. They spend the whole month going to all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Tomorrow they're walking to Manasarovar, which is such a beautiful walk in Braj. So just fortunate to be here. I just came from Puri and feel so tight with the people. It's such a unique retreat. just seamless. It's just living in an environment where the Holy Name is just going on constantly and in such a sweet way. And visiting the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So it was all very wonderful. And this month of January, where I get to visit both Vrindavan, Puri, and Mayapur, is especially sweet during the year. Now, to continue the Bhagavatam story, Sutta is narrating the history of the Bhagavatam and just completed the first history where Vyas got his inspiration. And one of the ways in which Vyas got his inspiration was his Guru Narada told him the story of his own life, how by sadhu sangha, which means to hear from realized souls, the Srimad Bhagavatam, how that process works. And I do feel it works. And again, I'm very thankful to the people who listen regularly on the Sangha. I know it works. Works for me, it works for you. Nasta Prashu Padreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevya. By hearing regularly the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we become purified. Trinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantasto Yubhadrani Vidinoti Sarit Satam. Krishna's pleased when we hear Trinvata Swakata Krishna and Sarit Satam, because he's our well-wisher and he responds to us by moving us forward in Krishna consciousness. So now here's what Vyas does after he hears. Because if you want to realize anything in Krishna consciousness, you have to apply what you heard in your life. And hearing inspires action. So he heard it to become inspired specifically in his service of writing it. Well, now let me put it this way. Narada heard the Bhagavatam. And after telling Vyas that hearing Krishna's pastimes was the most efficacious method of self-realization, Vyas, now inspired to take up that task to present the Bhagavatam as the essence of the Vedas, he takes the service seriously by trying to realize it. Because if you want to explain something, you have to realize it. It's, without realization, it's too difficult to explain something. Because the realization is the thread that holds every statement together about a subject, is the realization of the subject. It's a depth of understanding that allows you to communicate it. Because I see when you communicate, you have to apply it. And applying it means dealing with that same subject in different forms. And without understanding the subject deeply, you can't do it. So anyway, so the question asked by Shonuka Rishi after hearing this story about Narada inspiring Vyas is, what did he do? So now let's hear what he did. Vamanajyam sarasatyam ashrama paschame tete samyapta sitapiti prokta rishinam sattavardana. Sri Sutta said, on the western bank of the river Saraswati, which is intimately related with the Vedas, there's a cottage for meditation at some Yapras, which enlivens the transcendental activities of the sages. So the first principle actually in meditation is, and this is practical in your own life, is find a suitable place to do it. A place that fosters concentration rather than distraction. That's the first principle. Knowing the powerful effect that environment has on consciousness. And meditation means concentration, and concentration means the mode of goodness. So you have to find an atmosphere that inspires the mode of goodness within your mind, or the mind in goodness. And really that's called ashram. And ashram's not just like a place, it's a place for spiritual life, and according to what social situation you take, then there are different rules for that ashram. So it's both the physicality and it's how you live your life. No matter where you are. So there are certain principles that we adhere to for the purpose of facilitating our meditation. Purport, for spiritual advancement of knowledge, a suitable place and atmosphere are definitely required. I'll repeat that. For spiritual advancement of knowledge, a suitable place and atmosphere definitely required. We have to create this space no matter where we are, whether it's a small apartment or a large house, whether you're a sannyasi or a grihastha, whether you live in New York, whether you live in Mayapur, a suitable place and atmosphere is definitely required. We have to have control over some space to facilitate meditation. It's not that we just chant. We just get up and chant. We chant in the living room. We chant in front of the TV. We chant in the kitchen. We chant in the bedroom. No, we have a place where the environment is supportive. So that's the first principle that's given here, because Vyas has to meditate, because he has to make realization, and realization means concentration. The place on the western bank of the Saraswati is specially suitable for this. So for spiritual advancement of knowledge, there's a particular geographical place. And there is an ashram of Vyasadeva at Samyapras. So there's a particular place, and in that place there's a place. So there's a place in the place. So there's a geographical locality, and within the geographical locality, that facilitates self-realization, spiritual advancement, knowledge as soon as possible, then you have a place. Srila Vyasa was a householder, yet his residential place is called ashram. An ashram is a spirit, is a place where spiritual culture is always foremost. It does not matter whether the place belongs to a householder or a mendicant. So if you're serious about spiritual life, then the spiritual culture has to be foremost in your house or your room or whatever it is. If the family is Krishna, then it's keeping the house. If you're more Krishna conscious, it should be a place. But this is the principle. He's talking about the environment. The whole Varnashram system is designed so that each and every status of life is called an ashram. Every status of life has an ethos, not an ethos, but a culture, where spiritual culture is always foremost. This means that spiritual culture is the common factor for all. Whether it's brahmachari, there's some difference. There's sannyas, there's some difference. There's trihasta, there's some difference. But the common factor is spiritual culture is foremost in every ashram. This means that spiritual culture is the brahmacharis, the grihasas, and the vanaprasas and sannyasi all belong to the same mission of life, namely realization of the Supreme. So that's the mission of Krishna consciousness. It's realization of the Supreme. Jivasya tattva jigyasa. Everything we do is for jivasya tattva jigyasa. Tattva jigyasa, realizing the subject of truth. That's what our life is about. That's what our home is about. That's what the schedule of our life is about. Therefore, none of them are less important as far as spiritual culture is concerned. The difference is a matter of formality on the strength of renunciation. The sannyasis are held in high estimation on the strength of practical renunciation. So, sannyas ashram is respected, but not more important as far as spiritual culture is concerned. Tasmin swasame vyaso padari shangamandite asino pa upaspushya panidadhyau manoshmiyam. In that place, Srila Vyasadeva, in his own ashram, which was surrounded by berry trees, sat down to meditate after touching water for purification. Purport, under the instructions of the spiritual master, Vyasadeva concentrated his mind in that transcendental place of meditation. So it was Badari Ashram, surrounded by some type of berry trees, and he purified himself by akshman, by touching water, by purifying himself. And here's a verse that I quoted many, many times. It would be nice now to quote in our sangha. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak paniyate malay apasyat purusham purnam mayam chatar apasyam. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in the devotional service without any tinge of materialism, and thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control. Bhakti Yogena Manasi. So he fixed the mind by Bhakti Yoga. I would assume he was either meditating on Krishna or chanting the holy name. But he was concentrating, and what does concentrating in devotion means? That you concentrate on Krishnanushilanam. Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam. That you're linked with Krishnanu. Your activities follow Krishna. Which basically means your mind follows Krishna. You meditate on Krishna. So somehow or other, he was trying to realize the absolute truth. Samyak, which means completely, praniyate amale, without any matter. So he fixed himself completely, concentrated without any matter, without any dirt. So I think this is also a theme that yoga, which means to control the mind, means that the mind is concentrated or restrained, not distracted or wandering or confused. It's restrained. And that's what gives one realization, when the mind is restrained on any path. So this is perfect yoga. He restrains the mind in devotion. And as a result, Apashyat, he saw Purusham, Purnam, the complete personality of Godhead, with Maya energies under his control. And the simplest way to take that is he saw that God was not an illusion. That God was the absolute truth, that Krishna was the absolute truth. The personality of Godhead was not something imposed by the mind. And you meditate on that imposition to transcend it, but no, it's the absolute truth. It's sarva karana karanam. It's the cause of all causes. Anadya, it has no... That's what the absolute truth means. That it's the last word. It's the first cause. Perfect vision of the absolute truth is possible only by the linking process of devotional service. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. One can perfectly realize the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, only by the process of devotional service. And one can enter in the kingdom of God by such perfect knowledge. So it's the personality of Godhead. And this is something also that I mentioned many, many times, that the realization of a person only comes in realization, in relationship. If you don't have a relationship with someone, you can't know that person. You don't know a person by analysis. You know a person by relationship. And therefore, after people are together for some time, then they find out who the person is. And in this regard, because it's God and it's perfect, you actually find out how wonderful God is, how great God is, who God is, what is the beauty of God. It all happens in relationship, personality. Essence of person is always revelatory. And one can enter in perfect realization of the absolute truth by partial approach of the impersonal Brahman or the localized Paramatma. Does not permit anyone to enter the kingdom of God, either by meditation or cultivation of knowledge. You don't enter into the kingdom of God.
You don't develop intimacy by meditation. You don't develop intimacy by meditation or by analysis. You enter intimacy by service and love. You want to enter into the kingdom of God, into the realm of intimacy, there has to be love. Otherwise, there's no entrance. Sri Narada advised Vyasa to become absorbed in transcendental meditation on the personality of God and his activities. Srila Vyasa did not take notice of the impersonal Brahman because that is not the absolute vision. The absolute vision is the personality of Godhead. So the absolute vision of anything is an intimacy, is in closeness. And what you see in a distance, you may no longer see in intimacy. Just the classic example of a mountain. In intimacy and closeness, when you're in the mountain, then you see what it really is. You see that it's people and it's foliage and it's trees and it's animals. And you no longer see it as just a amorphous rock of stone, which is the distance vision. And that type of vision no longer becomes significant. The absolute vision is the personality of God, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 17:9, Vasudeva Sadamiti. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanadam mam papajyate Vasudeva Sadamiti. So you come to that vision of Vasudeva after cultivating knowledge, after analysis. That may give you the faith and inspiration to love. In the Upanishads, also it is confirmed that Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, is covered by the golden glowing Hiranmayena Patrena veil of impersonal Brahman. When that curtain is removed by the mercy of the Lord, the real face, the Absolute, is seen. The Absolute is mentioned here as the Purusha, or person. The Absolute Personality of God is mentioned in so many Vedic literatures and in the Bhagavad Gita. The Purusha is confirmed as the eternal and original person. The Absolute Personality of God is the perfect person. It just makes so much sense, and I just repeat that conversation that I saw with this very revered elderly Christian apologist, this great professor. And they asked him, is God as a person? He said, God is not less than a person. How can we deny the thing that we value as most real, which is loving exchange and personality? And how can we deny that, the absolute truth? Or the other question is, why should we deny it in the absolute truth? And whatever the ultimate truth is, the most reasonable understanding is that God is a person. He can respond and he can love. How beautiful. And why are we so prone to deny that? Because we have such bad experience of that in this world. The Supreme Person has manifold energies out of which the internal, external, marginal energy are specifically important. The energy mentioned here is the external energy, as be clear from the statements of our activities. So, Maya Chattopadhyaya and Prabhupada is commenting on that the energy of God, the external energy, it doesn't control God. It is an energy that is utilized by God, and it controls the living entity. So when the Mayavadi philosophies say that God is a product of goodness, God is a product of Maya, that's the Mayavadi school. Now, the Vaishnav school here is Maya Chitarapasaya. Maya is under the subjugation, under the direction of the personality of Godhead. The internal energy is there along with the absolute truth, as the moonlight is there with the moon. So when he saw Pashna Purusham Puryam, he saw the energy of that person of God, the internal potency. The external energy is compared to darkness because it keeps the living entity in the darkness of ignorance. The word apasnayam suggests that this energy of the Lord is under full control. The internal potency or superior energy is also called Maya, but it is spiritual Maya or energy exhibited in the absolute realm. When one is under the shelter of the internal potency, the darkness of material ignorance is at once dissipated. Because the external energy serves the living entity by covering his vision of God to just facilitate the living entity's desire to be God. The internal energy reveals the form, quality, name, and pastimes of God. The internal energy reveals the truth. The external energy covers the truth. So when one is under the internal energy, then the absolute truth is revealed, and the darkness of the external energy is removed. And even those who are atmarama, or fixed in trance, take shelter of this maya, or internal energy. Devotional service, or bhakti yoga, is the function of the internal energy. It's a manifestation of the internal energy. It is the path that serves the internal energy and inspires the internal energy to reveal God. Such internal energy is even superior to the spiritual bliss attainable in the conception of impersonal Brahman. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the impersonal Brahman effulgence is also an emanation from the absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The Parama Purush cannot be anyone except Sri Krishna himself, as will be explained in the later shlokas. Okay, anyone have any questions? Would anyone like to say hello? Can anyone tell me they're still there?
Jai Maharaj, it's Hare Krishna. We can hear you.
Hello?
Is someone still there?
Maharaj, can you hear me?
Yeah, who's that?
It's Rati Krishna.
Okay, Rati, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, I'll just say a few more words. Today is Lord Nityananda's appearance day. Beautiful celebration in Vrindavan, especially traditionally the 24-hour kirtan. Everyone in the temple would be abhishek, and I came there, and they were so kind and gave me a seat right by the kirtan, and then God Brother Gaudi led his very beautiful kirtaniya. And by Andrew's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, so many people are coming up in kirtan. And, of course, there's that beautiful song. Nithai Pada Kamala Koti Chanda Sushitala Ye Chaya Jagata Jurai Ye Chaya Jagata Jurai Heno Nithai Bineba Radha Krishna Paite Nai Siddha Kori Daro Nithai Pai Siddha Koro Daro Nithai Pai Se sambandha nahi jai pita janma kevata Se pashu pura dura chai. Anyway, I forgot most of the song, but the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are cooling like a thousand moons. Nityai Padakamala Koti Chandas, Ye Chayai, they provide shade. Radha Krishna Dine Bhai, Radha Krishna Dine Bhai, Radha Krishna, Nithai Pada Kamala, Koti Chandasu Sita, Ye Chayai, Jagata Jurai, Radha Krishna, you know why? Anyway, somehow I forgot, but it's the, you need the mercy of Lord Nityananda to attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's the secret of Krishna consciousness. That's why Prabhupada established the Krishna Balaram Mandir. He said to show the world that Gornitai is not different than Krishna Balaram. And you know, I remember the wonderful story of Raghunath Das Goswami, who, when he was young, he got the association of Haridas Thakur, and the pure name of Krishna entered his heart so powerfully that he developed faith or trust in the sublimity of devotion. And when one gets that taste, that superior taste of Krishna consciousness, that happiness which makes even the happiness of liberation seem insignificant, when one gets that happiness, then one develops greed. One wants it. So that happiness meant the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, he always tried to go. He wanted to join his ashram. His parents were very pious, but attached. It became very difficult for him to go, even that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him back to his parents. Became very, very difficult for many, many, many years for him. His parents got him married to the most beautiful girl. And he was, you know, it was a family of two brothers, and he was the only heir. He was the only child. So there was so much pressure on him to for his family. And even though the family was offering him what we're all hankering for, which is financial security and, you know, the proper partner. At his stage of desire and detachment, that was just the greatest burden in the world to him. And finally, he got to see Lord Nityananda, and he was very humble, so... And also, he was famous being the son of the richest man. His father and uncle were renting a whole kingdom so that the Vaishnavas could live peacefully. And therefore, he was coming very, very cautiously. and in the background. And then Nityananda, everybody said, there's Raghunath. And he saw him just trying to, like, hide and be in the background. He said, oh, you were a thief. I'll punish you. And it's interesting. If you call him a thief for two reasons. One, when a thief enters assembly, he never wants to be seen. He's always on the periphery. He never wants to become prominent. So the thief is always hiding. Like if some thief breaks into someone's house, the thief is always hiding. But he called him a thief for another reason, and this is, I think, the point of Lord Nityananda's appearance, that if we want God, we have to go to Guru. That's the Tatvigyan Artham Sugurum Eva Duche. You have to go to Guru. That's obligatory. That's the method. And we get bhakti from, and the mercy of Krishna through the hearts of the devotee. So when one tries to go independently, when one tries to go independently, it's like a thief who takes the property, who's trying to take the property of someone without asking permission of the person who owns it. So it's Guru and the Vaishnavas who possess God. And if you want God, you have to get it from them. And if you try it another way, then it's like a thief. He tries to get the property without going through the owner. So that's Lord Nityananda. It's through his mercy. And when Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, when he was based in Puri, he gave people different missions, but for Lord Nityananda, it was to deliver Krishna consciousness to the most fallen people. And therefore, he went to Bengal. So, it's very auspicious today, and most of you on the East Coast, so it's in the morning, try in some way to honor Lord Nityananda and get his potency. Of course, he's Balaram. Balaram is the servitor Godhead. He's God, but God in the manifestation of the devotee. And the first devotee is Balaram. And he serves Krishna, as Prabhupada said, in all affairs of existence and knowledge. The existence is the Vishnus, and the knowledge is Guru, who he touches with. So Balaram is a servant of Godhead, and he's not different than Nityananda. So Nityananda does the work. It says Krishna in Vrindavan, he's enjoying rasa, and Balaram does the work. Balaram expands all into the universes and disseminates knowledge in terms of manifesting his guru. And Krishna's enjoying. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya comes to Puri to deeply relish Krishna consciousness and actually to get Krishna consciousness, which means to cultivate, to cultivate and nourish a specific relationship with Krishna. So he's enjoying here that Nityananda does the work. So today we approach Nityananda in all humility, and we beg him. We beg Nityananda to engage us in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, anybody else like to say hello? There must be some weakness today with muting and unmuting phones. Somehow that happens. Hey, thank you all. Thank you, Prabhupada, for doing this.